Well, we always need the blessing of the Lord. Without Him, we're nothing. We feel that very keenly. I would like to look over into the book of James. We're going to have more than one place we go. I would like to impress it upon our minds this morning. We're very grateful for what the Lord has done for us in this United States. Very grateful for what we have. We can concentrate a lot of times on the things that's wrong, and it's all right for us to acknowledge that, but we should thank the Lord for what we have. And it doesn't mean we shouldn't pray for those things that need to be changed. I think we should. And as mentioned in the prayer this morning, how we ask the Lord to deal with our leaders. We ask the Lord to help them to have tender hearts. I think it's right for us to say, Lord, help our leaders. Even though sometimes we don't maybe have the fullest of confidence that they are true followers of the Lord, sometimes it's all right for us to say, Lord, tender their hearts. Help them to have a heart that would hear your voice. Talk to them, Lord. I don't suppose it's wrong for me to think this way, but I have wondered many times, wonder what kind of world it would be if we'd wake up tomorrow morning and hear some of our leaders go before the media and say, we want to encourage everyone to know our Lord. Had a time with Him last night. He came in my room, and I've never had this before, but somebody came in my room and touched my heart, and I can't be the same person today. I'll be a different president than what I was yesterday. Wouldn't you like to hear some of that? We'd like to encourage everybody. I'd love for everybody to have that type of an experience. I wish our nation could have that. So what's wrong with us praying for the Lord doing that? I'd be happy for the Lord to touch all of our leaders, not just our president, but all of our local leaders. May the Lord help us to have a godly influence on those around us. As a song we've sung many times that Brother Ulysses Phillips wrote, I believe he was the writer of this, From Death to Life. Oh, what a thought. Within my heart, what change is wrought. By power divine. Thank the Lord for that today, that we have today the ability to look up and say, thank you, Lord, for what you did in my life. I'm not the same person that I used to be. We like generally as humans in our normal psyche, our normal way of thinking, we like to pretty well make our choices, don't we? I like it done my way. Not necessarily is that all wrong. But once you get your way, you've got the responsibility of doing it right. And right is defined by God. So the Lord, in His loving wisdom and His love for you and I, His great understanding of us, He made us like we are with desire to make our choices, to go the direction that seems right in our mind. Then He set before us His loving law and gave us the responsibility, the moral choice, to say, yes, I will, or no, I won't. Actually, love is hardly, we can't well describe it as love if we are made to do something we don't want to do. If in any relationship, if we want people to freely associate, freely, you want your wife to freely live with you, want your husband to freely live in that home with you, we want that to be there because we care for each other. It's my choice to do so. I'm not there because The door is locked when the husband leaves the house and I'm a prisoner. That's not the way this works. The way it works, there is a law of liberty that is bounded by the influence of love. And more strongly bound to each other by the reason, by the influence of love. And our God is love. That's who He is. So I would like to read to you and your hearing this morning. My thought this morning has to do with liberty and its responsibility. Which means that liberty we might have, the Lord has given us liberty, the Lord has given us the right to choose. He's put that within our hands. But along with that, there comes some responsibility to liberty, to the choices that we make. I would like to look over into, maybe before I get there, I ought to digress to look again at our country a little bit. I wrote this note, and I would share it with you. John Adams, October 11, 1798. Writing to, I believe it was the Massachusetts militia. And in that letter, he wrote to them about our Constitution and their devotion to it. And part of what he said in that, he said, "Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other." In other words, this is a choice. We have a constitution in this country based on liberty, on right to choose. We have that's here in this nation. But it's inadequate for people who aren't bound to it by love, by devotion, by desire to follow. We're not interested in forcing people. Well, civil law ends up getting into that area of eventually saying, well, you can't do things. And there's the, you ever heard of the Libertarian Party? Generally, at the basis of what they believe is that everybody, so when you're an adult, you ought to have the right to do whatever you choose. If you want to infect your body with all the drugs or alcohol you want to, you ought to have that right. And I can understand some of their thinking, but when that happens, it also affects us as a whole. And so, We have laws that says, no, you shouldn't destroy your home, your life, your children, your family. You shouldn't damage your neighborhood with this type. But there is the idea out there in some people's minds that we should be able to do just whatever we want. That's one aspect of liberty. There's another aspect that says, there's an influence of love that says, I do not want to do this because it harms my brother, whether I want it or not. That element is one of the greatest forces that God wants us to employ in this living for Him in this life we're in now. Jesus said, when asked and challenged by at the greatest commandments or commandment that was in the law, and I'm going to sum it up, He said, love the Lord with everything that you have. And the next one is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Live in such a way that your neighbor also would not be harmed by what you do. I believe if we do that, we wouldn't need the Ten Commandments that says, don't commit adultery. Because I believe we would love our fellow man enough not to violate. If we employed that element, that law of love that Jesus said is the chiefest of laws. If we employed that, I don't believe we would steal from our fellow man. I believe I could leave my billfold out here in the middle of the highway and somebody might stop and pick it up and look at it and say, I believe I know kind of where that goes. I'm going to take it back over there and give it back and I wouldn't lose a penny. You see what I'm saying? The influence of love. I would like to read in John 14 and 15. I'm just going to do this in passing, but it was Jesus himself that said this to his disciples, "If you love me, keep my commandments." That is the law that binds anything. This is what makes law liberating. This is what makes it not grievous. This is what makes it a pleasure to follow the Lord. Because I love Him, and I see then His commandments as being something that is so protective, so liberating. There's things that outside of those bounds that God has put in our life, those other things are enslaving. Those other things are the things that everything out there that is damaging to our soul, that abrades us, that comes against us, that would damage the very essence of what God wants to create, His righteous ways. Everything out there is enslaving. But when we come into Christ and come into the Lord, there is a liberty, there is a joy, there is a peace, there is a satisfaction that we find there that can't be found in any other way. So I would like now to go to James. James 1, and we'll read and you're hearing verse 25. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty. I'm intrigued at how the James saw this law of liberty. He said it was perfect. That was his estimation. And he looks at this law. You know, man can make laws and people figure out a way around it. And we think, well, we've got to go back to Congress and next 4 years, we're going to make some more, and we're going to find a way to tie up the loose ends. And I want to tell you, the Constitution is wholly inadequate to those who don't want to follow it. Going to need to have a heart change. Going to need to have a different impulse driving our lives. Brother James here, he said, "But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty," this law that God has put before us, this way that should be implemented and carried out in our lives, this is a perfect pattern. This is the right way. We can say, and people have, we've taken many verses in the Scripture, and we can take one and stand it alone, and we can argue about it. They did it in the old law system. The lawyers, it seemed like they took the law of Moses and they argued it to the point and they applied it in so many rigid ways that people didn't even know hardly what to do. It became nothing more than a wooden and a difficult thing to deal with. And that's not what God intended for it to be. But man makes it so. Now when we say that we have liberty in Christ and we can make our own decisions, that doesn't mean that we can make our decisions without consequences. There are consequences to whatever decision we make. If we choose to violate the essence of the law that God has put before us, there's consequences to that violation. There is a way that is right, and there's a way that seems right. To our carnal thinking, there's ways that we can embrace and say that this is what I want to do. And if you follow that way, and God does have mercy on us. As we sometimes go down a road and we begin to recognize that this is not what I'm interested in. This is not bringing the fruit that I want in my life. By His grace and His mercy, we can come to Him and say, "Father, I'm sorry. I don't want to do that anymore. I want to turn around and go a different direction." In His mercy, He will help us with that. He'll receive our apology and give us forgiveness, and we can turn around. And in His mercy, if we need saving, He can save our souls. If we need correction, He can correct us and turn us in the direction that is right in His way. The consequences are there, though. There's a verse that says, the wages of sin. Now, sin is the act of disregarding God's law. The sin is the act of saying, I think I do want to do it just my way. I don't want to take in account what you've said or the counsel, the full counsel of God. Sin is ignoring that and going your own way. There's consequences to doing so. And it'll bring death. It'll bring destruction in our life. Sometimes, I know eternal death, but especially here, what we live here, it brings also a pain and a sorrow and a dying here. A separation from the Lord here that we experience. But as we follow the Lord and allow Him to do His, if we love the Lord, as Jesus enjoined us, if you love me, keep my commandments. Another place He said, His commandments are not grievous. It's not difficult. It's not hard. It's not something that we should say, oh, it's too much of a weight on my shoulders. I want so badly to do the wrong things in this life. And you may, if that's where you are, I want to ask you to give your heart to the Lord. Because there is a different way that we can enjoy to travel and walk with the Lord. In the light of His Word. Well, Brother James looked at this perfect law. He says, the perfect law of liberty. So he said, whosoever looketh into that and begins to ponder, look into this perfect law of liberty and hear what the Lord says to his soul, begins to recognize and look at the Scripture and doesn't just try to dissect it in such a way that makes room for my excess. But I look into the Word and say, get its essence and what it means to my soul and the direction that it draws me toward the perfecting of the mind that God wants to have in us, this Christ-like mind that He wants to develop within our very heart and teach us to walk in the ways of righteousness. When we look into that and I begin to love and adore God's ways, this perfect law of liberty, if we look into that, and he that, but whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein. We see it and we recognize its beauty and its effect. We recognize that it is God's counsel to our soul, and I embrace it and I walk in it. Lord, help us to do that now. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed indeed, blessed in his deeds. This man will be blessed in his deed. I want to be one of those today to be blessed in the deed, in walking with the Lord. I also want to read James, the second chapter, and the 12th verse. Again, talking about this liberty, folks, I want us to recognize this morning that liberty is not just licentiousness. Liberty is not just being a libertine, which means everything goes. That's not what liberty is. Liberty is the ability, well, let me tie it a little bit first to some of what this early morning church was dealing with. Early morning church, what I would call the first generation church that we find in the Bible, they're known as Christians. They followed the Lord, and it was in a different way than those who followed Judaism. That was a different set of thinking. That Christ came to take away from just a legal rote of the old law. There was a liberty that there was in Christ. That didn't mean that we weren't tied to God's moral law. But the Mosaic law, there was a liberty. And the early morning church, the early morning Jews and the Gentiles alike had to understand that this walking with the Lord was more than adherence to the old law. We were liberated from that now. We have something greater than legal ideas under the old law. Something that what we have found in Christ now is actually, it's a liberty. It's a liberty, though, that draws us nearer, not puts us farther from the Lord. We can develop here in our midst a set of laws. I want to tell you, if you do that, we're going to have to have somebody that we designate to be the enforcer of the law. I'm out. I'm not the enforcer. I don't know your heart. I don't know where you stand. Only God knows that one. But God knows our heart today. The old law system had actually degraded in people's minds that it became something that the Sanhedrin and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they exacted a certain amount of authority, and it was just a legal law. The lawyers argued about the point. And God wanted something much better, much more personal, much more real, that comes within, that is embedded within the hearts of mankind. He said He would come and write His law upon the fleshly tables of our heart. And when it gets there, God intends for it to be lived out through the very impulse, the strength of God Himself, who is love. God wants His law to be so embedded, so enjoyed, so appreciated, so recognized for its beauty and its great effect that it has in our life for good, for righteousness, His holy ways. He wants that to be so embedded in us and so appreciated, so embraced, that it is a natural thing to follow that because I love Him. Because I love Him. So over here in James 1 and 25. No, I'm sorry. Got the wrong verse. In James 2 and 12. So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. Well, I didn't think I was supposed to be judged. This is free. I don't have to be judged. Why are you talking? No. Oh, thank the Lord for God's righteous judgment today. Oh, dear ones, without His communion with our soul, we are cut adrift because it's not good for us to lean to our own understanding. Any man who leans to his own understanding, we will fall by our own understanding. We need the Lord to shine His light on our pathway, to show us, to give us understanding, to make us understand His law. And again, when I say law, I want to tell you, this is a perfect law of liberty. This is one that deals with the heart of mankind. This is a law that will hold you when the enforcers around the camp of the saints aren't there. And I want to tell you, I don't want any enforcers around the camp of the saints. But what I'm saying, when nobody's looking over your shoulder, I want to tell you, this law, this place where the Lord wants to implant Himself within our very hearts, write His law upon the fleshy tables of our heart. This place is there, this force, this perfect law of liberty, this is much stronger than any statement of faith. What I mean by that is that if somebody comes in, it's pretty common to have people say, well, what's your statement of faith? What does this church believe? Folks, I want to tell them this right here is what we believe. And within this is contained the interaction of God with our heart. He wants to be that one, as He did with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, who will walk and talk with us in the cool of day, in our closets when we're asleep, or when we get alone in our closets of prayer. That's where the Lord wants to meet us. The Lord wants to be there in a very personal way that we can understand what He wants us to do. We don't have to be confused in our minds. There is a place that God wants to commune with you and I to put His stamp of approval on our life, and we can walk with confidence, not in rebellion, but in joy of walking with my Lord. So we want to look into this perfect law of liberty, and it is a law of liberty, but then within this law, again, James says over here in the second chapter in the 12th verse, "So speak ye and so do as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy." This perfect law of liberty, the Lord would have us to act in such a way, to live according to this law, that we're going to be judged by this. We have responsibility. It's laid on our hands. It's laid on our heart. We have a responsibility to act according to this law of liberty. "For he shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment." Mercy, the Lord has come, and personally in our hearts come and brought a father-son relationship. And I want to appeal to your own reason right now and recognize that, how does a father who loves his children — I have to put that caveat in there because not all fathers love their children — but a righteous father, somebody who does love his family and has his family's best at his heart, how does that father interact with his children? Does he look for the greatest opportunity? If I can just catch them in a little mistake, I'm gonna whoop it out of them. You don't find that in them, do you? You find the father, and I thank God I had a good father because he helped me understand some of this. There were times when I was very wrong. There were times I broke the rules of the house. And yes, I got corrected. But there were times that in his kindness and my parents' kindness and love for me, they not only corrected, but they taught me. They didn't cut me off. They didn't say, "You're done now." They didn't, when meanness and carnality, that's not how they approached. And God help us today to take on the same character of Christ in our life. That, quite frankly, God Himself treats us like children. He comes and sees us many times as we walk, as we're progressing, as we're growing in grace. We're not always full grown. We weren't born full grown. We must grow in His grace. We must learn. And along the path, along the path, there is this law of liberty. But within that law of liberty, this love, this relationship that He wants to pull out from us the best qualities and cut off those things that are wrong. He loves us enough to teach us with this father-son personal relationship. He's not a God afar off today. Amen. Oh, again, as we come to this day of Thanksgiving, that's one of the things we should thank Him for, that He's a near God. He's a Father that goes and talks, that He walks and talks with us and communes with our spirit. This is the kind of God that we have. He's not an absentee father. He is on the job. He loves you and I, and He's willing to teach and help us in this law of liberty. Again, there's responsibility. We don't just go our own way, because in going our own way, what loving father would let their child go out and do life dangerous things that would take a child's life? They would always say, "No, child, no, don't do that. Don't walk that close to that cliff," or don't, whatever danger that they see, we give the, "Don't play out in the road," whatever. We try to protect the lives of our children because we love them, and our Heavenly Father is the same way. He will do all He can if we let Him, if we listen to Him. There's a perfect law of liberty. There's consequences to saying yes, and there's consequences also to saying no to the Lord. It's perfect law of liberty. This law, and again, in that last part of that last verse, mercy rejoiceth against judgment. The Lord isn't there to try to catch a moment to cut us off and say, all right, you're done. He's just not that way. If we insist to walk away, he'll let us. As he did with the rich young ruler, he let that man, though he loved him every step he took as he walked away. The Lord loved that yet rich young ruler. He didn't tell him, you've got to go, because he didn't push him away. He told him the truth. The truth that would have set him free. The truth that would have blessed his soul. He told him the truth in love. And the Lord today doesn't look for the opportunity to cast us aside, but rather to draw us near. In his correcting, in his love, in his perfect love, mercy rejoiceth against judgment. Over in Galatians 5 and 1. Again, we want to look with this theme of liberty. This crosses in. Excuse me, y'all. I've got something that I haven't been able to clear out for some time, and it's dealing with it more this morning. So excuse my coughing. Galatians 5 and 1 says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Now, that has the historic application, or the moment that Brother Paul was writing this in. He was, again, writing this to the Galatian church. And in that Galatian church, there were some Jews who had come out of the old law system and saw the faith, the grace that was in Christ Jesus. And they embraced that and received that, and they became Christians. And at one point in the first part of Galatians, he said, oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? What has happened? Why have your focus has been turned back from the liberty in Christ, and you're going back to the old way, your old focus, back to the old law system? That's basically what he was talking about here. But that applies also yet to our day. There are things that the devil would like us to be enslaved to, and this rote law. Folks, I want to tell you, this has been one of the things that has been in my mind as I walked with the Lord for many years now. I'm not opposed to having doctrine that we state. In fact, I think it's good, especially when it's Bible-based. It's got to be Bible-based. But what I want more than anything is for us to know the reason for the doctrine and the one who gives it. Because without that, it is just something that is written down. I want the law of liberty. I want to know the reason. I want to know the one who inspired that law. I want to know the love of the one who gives me that counsel. The one who says, son, don't walk that close. You're not big enough to see the danger on the other side of that wall, but I am, and I want to give you this counsel because I truly love you. And we have this relationship that says, that causes my heart to say, I don't see the danger, but I hear his voice and I know him to be kind. I know him to be loving, and I believe that he's right. This perfect law now of liberty is the thing that binds me nearer and closer than anything that I can write down in a book and tell you this is what we believe. I want the law of the Lord written on my heart and yours. There'll be a day that I can't be there, or nobody else can be near you, but the Lord can be where you are. I want you to be strong when you face the temptations of life. I want you to have this law of liberty where the Lord has already said, you can choose, child, whatever you want, but I want this bond of love to be so strong that you will say, I don't want to. There's a verse that talks about his seed remaineth in him. Won't sin because his seed remaineth in him. I'm not quoting that quite right, but that's kind of the thought that I want to think about right now. His seed remaineth in him. And in my mind, in our mind, sometimes you think, well, if the seed is in us, there's no way we can sin. I want to tell you, you always have a choice. But here's where the no way you can sin is, I believe, should truly be understood. When, if you have a child and maybe you're up on top, I was up on top of Pikes Peak one time, and there's a parapet right there and a big drop off. And I was, anyway, and I picture myself perhaps up there and you have a child in your arms and you're looking out over there and seeing all the expanse of space out there and the city down below and all. And I want to ask you, if you love this child, can you throw the child off? It's repulsive to you to think, no, I'm not going to throw my baby off this pair. I'm not going. I can't do it. Yes, you can. And you say, no, I can't. Why? Because the seed remains in you. I love this child. And I want to tell you, that's how this works with the Lord. You can't say it because I love him too much. I won't throw him off. He's my... Who do men say that I am? I, the Son of Man, am. Well, a lot of people have a lot of ideas. And Jesus said, who do you think I am? Peter, who do you... Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Another time, when Jesus said, you need to eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, and people took that literally, and they thought, how can this be? This is a step too far. I've heard a lot of things that he said, and I believed a lot. I saw those wonderful miracles. Surely there's something there. But when he said this, that's too much. And they walked away. They were offended and walked away. And Jesus looked at Peter and said, will you also go? And what was his decision? They could have. But there was something held them there. I don't understand either, Lord. But I don't know where to go. There's not another. I've never heard or seen. The words that you have spoken to us have sunk graciously within our heart. And I don't know where else to go if I was to leave. Thou hast the words of eternal life. And I'm not going to leave. Even if I don't understand today what you said, I'm not leaving. He could have, but his seed remained in him. And God help us as we walk through life in this perfect law of liberty. You can walk away, but may there be a bond. May there be something much stronger that holds us where we can't. Lord, I don't understand everything you said to me today. I don't understand all the law that I find in the scripture. I don't understand exactly what everybody said here. But this one thing I know, thou hast the words of eternal life, and I'm not going anywhere because you mean something to me. And I'll wait till the day comes. If I need to understand that, I'm going to put that in your hands. I'm going to allow you to shed the light on my pathway when the day is necessary. Until then, I'm going to be happy walking right where I am because I have my hand in the hand of my Father. And he feels like Daddy today. I don't know. I know Father should probably mean the same thing as Daddy to most people, but there is always something a little bit more special. When I didn't call my father, I called him Daddy. And it was out of love. It just seemed a little more endearing. So I use that term today. God wants us to be happy, knit to him in love. All right. I want to look over. Maybe we didn't Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. That counsel, again, I think, stands for us today. Let's not, once we have found Christ, once we have walked in him, don't allow anything to take that closeness of relationship away. Don't be entangled again. These scriptures are wonderful and they are good, but you know the devil knows how to quote scripture also, and he'll misuse it. He did to Jesus, didn't he? He did, and tried to put pressure on Jesus to the point that, you know, if you are really, if that, because go ahead and cast your, because he said he would, you wouldn't dash your foot, so go ahead. See, the devil is so he quotes Scripture so wrongly, uses it so wrongly, so carnally when he quotes it. But when Jesus brings his word to you and I, it's life-giving and drawing and satisfying to the soul. So I want to tell you, as we walk with in those places with the Lord wants us to be in a place that it his sweet whisper breathes life and hope and joy in the heart. Not oppressive. And again, I'm going to tell you, the devil can use this verse, use this scripture and quote it and make you feel oppressed. That's of the devil. That's not this perfect law of liberty. The devil will take a sensitive conscience. And folks, I want us to have sensitive consciences. I really do. I want us to be a very, very sensitive ear to the voice of the Lord. I want us to be in that place that our conscience is easily stirred by the Lord. But I also want us to be aware that if we have a sensitive conscience like that, the devil also knows that, and he'll do everything he can to oppress you. He'll try to discourage you and say there's no way. And he'll point out every little mistake you make. And he'll say, see there? You're done. And I want to encourage you, if that's something you struggle with, God loves you more than that. God, we're not here to make excuse for outright sin or desire to do wrong. That's not what I'm talking about. But I want to take the tool away from the devil that where he just oppresses you and rides us to the place that we feel like I can't ever do it. Because, oh, dear young people, if you're struggling with that, I want you to know. I have too. I'm one of those that when I was younger, I struggled with some of that. And I struggled to the point that at one point it's very oppressive. I'm just telling you, it's very oppressive. But I want you to also know the Lord loves you so much. He wants to mentor you and guide you and teach you and bring you through that place in your life. He's not looking to try to destroy you. He's looking to try to strengthen you and bring you to a place of wholeness. This is this perfect law of liberty. Mercy rejoices over judgment. The devil will come along and he'll push and a harshness and a meanness, an oppression on you, but the Lord doesn't do that. The Lord uplifts and encourages, and he won't take a smoking flax and stomp it out, nor will he take the bruising that you might feel and go ahead and break you. That's not what he does. He's interested in letting the lame be free and be healed, not be turned out of the way. All right. Oh, here, let's go ahead and read on down to the 13th verse in this chapter we're in, Galatians 5 and 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. All right. Perhaps in the audience that he spoke that to that day, perhaps they were recognizing that they're not, these perhaps were Jewish people that had the idea of going back under the old law, not being bewitched to go back that way and be, there's no righteousness under the law anymore. There's no place of drawing near the Lord under the old law anymore. But there is a liberty. There's something that brings us away from that. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. There's a place in Christ. Now, if you told a Jew that you no longer have to observe the sign of the promise unto Abraham, the circumcision of the old law, that's not necessary. You know, there's some of the Jewish customs that in Christ that has been nailed to the cross and taken away. We try to teach them that. It's a little bit. Some of them might say, well, oh, I'm so glad I'm free from that. I had a hard time with that every year anyway. I didn't like taking that lamb over there and getting it slaughtered anyway. There's all kinds of reasons that people may have said, I'm glad to be free from that. Well, okay, You got some liberty now. That doesn't mean we have license. License to do all that's wrong. So therefore, the brother here was talking to them and he says, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only, this liberty doesn't mean that you can do whatever you want. Only, use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh." I want to tell you today, we still have liberty in Christ. We're not here. We don't bow under a certain special creed that we have devised among us. That's not, except the Bible itself. We haven't devised a certain standard that all must follow, but except Christ and His Word and the principles that we find there. And we adhere to that with all of our heart because I love Him. I want to be like Him. I want His ways to be exhibited in my life. I don't think it's right to be mean to my fellow man or use cursings against him or defraud or all the things that we find. But see, it's no longer just the road of the law, but it's a desire of the heart. I want to be this because God calls me to that. I want to be like my Lord. So therefore, we now have liberty in Christ today. You all have liberty. We can make these choices. We don't have anything. You say, "Well, you've come in these doors. This is what you've got to do." It's this, though. Use not the liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Oh, now that comes close to us, doesn't it? In your mind, run over in your mind and find the person that has probably irritates you the most in life. Have you identified that person yet? You look back over here. This person is just kind of hard for me to deal with. That person irritates you, and every time I see him. And then hear Jesus say, or hear Paul say here in the book of Galatians, the Lord, word of the Lord say to us, that, but by love, serve one another. Oh, that's pretty close now, isn't it? And then Jesus, I hear His words echo in my mind when He said, overcome evil with good. That's pretty close, isn't it? Lord, help me now. You see where He's writing now His law in our heart? It's different than just repeating Isaiah or some of that. And that's all good. Isaiah, I'm not saying anything against that. But God, I want the law to go from the written word to the heart. There's a place that the Lord wants to implant His law within it and give the strength of His love that causes it to bloom in our life, causes it to be enacted, to be lived out to those around us. It's more than just learning and being able to memorize. And I want us to be able to memorize all the books of the Bible. That's good to do that. But I want to tell you, it's more than memorizing, more than being able to tell what's there. It's being able to live what's there. God help us to do that today. Amen. All right. I want to look just a little bit more here in Galatians. Use not liberty only. Use not your liberty for an occasion for the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word. Brother Paul is kind of echoing what Jesus said here. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, Jesus added the first commandment on there, to love the Lord with all your heart. Jesus said the first commandment, didn't add it. It was there. It's the truth. Paul only recounted the second one here, which is so, if lived out, it is so true and so right. Love your neighbor as yourself. I would ask you today, if we follow the two commandments that Jesus spoke of, love the Lord with all your heart and all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, everything that you are, if we do that and we love our fellow man as ourselves, would we need Congress? Would you need the sheriff in your county? I don't know. If everybody did that, I'd like to think that we'd have a hard time needing to pay somebody in that role. If we love the Lord with all of our heart, if everybody did, if this whole nation, if our counties of people, if we love the Lord, oh, what a different world that would be. This perfect law of liberty, folks, it's perfect. It's right. It's good. It has good fruit. There's a reason why the Lord calls us to this. It's not for our hurt or for our damage or being a tyrant over. That's not who He is. What He is, He wants our good. He wants our peace. He is the Prince of Peace. He's the one that wants to take our life today and make it so that tomorrow we won't have regret. Make it so that there is a peace that abides. There is a hope that's there. There's a reason to live and act in such a way that our fellow man, not only God will be pleased with us, but our fellow man would also not have reason to dislike us. I know we're human. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying you're not going to make your human mistakes. But God, help us to strive to live according to this perfect law. This law of liberty. This law that puts responsibility right on our doorsteps. Responsibility. This is liberty now. I have a right to do it. Yes, but there's responsibility that comes with it. And it lands right where we are today. Lord, help us all to be motivated by a true and deep abiding love. When Jesus looks at us and says, if you love me, and who in here doesn't want to say today, Lord, I love you. Then He says, keep my commandments. Keep them. And it's not difficult. I would like to challenge, sometimes I hear the idea being proposed that it's so hard that nobody can live it. And so then we have excuse made that since nobody can live it, we're all so invested in sin that we can never break away from it. That's not what the perfect law of liberty is. The perfect law of liberty looks at us and recognizes our human inabilities, and He brings help and grace and strength and draws us into a place of growth in Him and healing. We don't have to be the old man that we used to be. We don't have to be a slave to sin. Thank the Lord for that today. We don't have to be that, nor do we have to identify as being under old master. Old master was the devil. We don't have to give him allegiance any longer. We don't have to say that, oh, I guess I'm just so, it's so hard that I can't. If we're going to take that position, I want to ask you, is it really that difficult? Again, His ways are not grievous. But according to the law of the land, I want to ask you, which one must you break? And I believe the law of the land is probably more meticulous and more fills up more volumes than what this Bible here fills up. And which one must you break? I want to tell you, you don't have to. We have the right. By the very grace of God, we have the right to say yes or to say no. And today, as we walk with the Lord today, this is, again, we're not discounting the fact that we need to grow in grace. We need to walk with the Lord and walk in the light that He sheds on our path. All that's true. I want to tell you, we don't have to live according to the dictates of the old man anymore. There is grace. There is strength by His Holy Spirit, by His blood. We have the ability by God's intervention into our life. We don't have to be a man that looks back to the old law of bondage. We don't have to go back there, but we can live today according to this great law, perfect law of liberty. Pray for me. I want to serve Him.